Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Focus, Friel. Focus. This is Wretched Radio. Merely to demonstrate, I don't have the ADH business. Jimmy, I'm looking at these files again.
Uh-huh.
And the next one in this particular folder is anti-evangelism program.
Oh.
Curious?
Very.
Me too. But see, I'm not going to be distracted. I am not going to lose focus. We are going to continue dipping into the mailbag. I will not click this button.
Todd, this in from floatingaxehead.wordpress.com. The small town of Littleton, Kentucky, inundated with street preachers, and people are getting uncomfortable. And after numerous complaints, Mayor Ron Messier has come up with a novel idea. Over the next few weeks, flags will be made available to the public, warning evangelists of a sensitive conscience. Any pedestrian waving a yellow flag while walking through town will prompt any street preacher to immediately stop preaching or reading aloud from the Bible until the pedestrian is out of earshot.
This was made 20 years ago.
Still
this has happened. It has happened. If it makes somebody feel bad, you've got to stop it. Welcome to Great Britain 2026.
Reaction from the townspeople has generally been positive.
I like the idea. Those street preachers usually stir my conscience with their messages, and my partner too. But these days, I can go home and sleep without my conscience bothering me one bit.
I don't like those messages on sin. I don't want to hear about sin and hell. That's why I like my pastor so much.
However, one villager, not satisfied.
Sometimes I forget my flag at home. We should have specific free speech zones off the beaten path where I know those preachers will be, so I can avoid them.
While the flag program is only being tested here, expect the measure to be adopted in other cities across the country if it works.
It's here! How hard is it to do satire these days?
How prophetic.
That was a spoof. It's 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, how does Scripture address the question of remaining in or returning to a marriage where physical abuse has occurred in the past? Specifically, if physical abuse occurred repeatedly, but the last incident was a few months ago, and is there a biblical obligation to remain in or return to the marriage?
Heavy, Mrs. Marsh. I'm sorry if that is a question that is grounded in your situation. I'm sorry. That's just... There's two layers here. One is safety. Do you have to stay in a home where you are getting beat? Absolutely not. Please call the police. Then call your elders, because you need to deal with this from a legal standpoint and from a spiritual standpoint. You need both addressed. Call the police. Get yourself to a safe place. And you do not need to return to that home if that man is still volatile. You don't. You've not run away. You are simply protecting yourself. That is not a sin. But the second part of this is physical violence grounds for divorce? Is physical, this is one that is very debated. So let me just walk through a couple of the main points on this. Just be patient with me, okay? Because we need to weigh this one, because the Bible does not identify physical abuse specifically as a cause for divorce. The Bible does identify three instances where divorce can be a godly thing to do. The question, though, is, were those teachings intended to be the totality of what qualifies for a biblical divorce? And so you need to dive into the context of each one. When Jesus was talking about this issue, when Paul was talking about this issue, were they giving the only causes for biblical divorce? All right, I'm just laying out the different points here. There's another aspect to this conversation in determining it. The third point would be, is physical violence a violation of the covenant? When Jesus, for instance, was talking about divorce in the Sermon on the Mount, he was very clearly raising the bar, making it very high. Was he saying that having an affair, committing adultery, is the only violation of the biblical covenant of marriage? Or was he simply stating, hey, it's got to be something really big. It's got to be something really major here. Furthermore, the principle behind those that commit adultery and those that abandon the marriage, this is what Paul was talking about when he was dealing with it in the Corinthian church, that somebody who abandons the marriage has abandoned the covenant. The question is, are there other ways to abandon the covenant besides physically removing yourself from the marriage context? It's very interesting that historically, more people than I originally imagined would say, yes, there are ways that a man or woman can violate the marriage covenant. Besides, because underneath abandonment, it's the principle of that they're breaking the covenant. So obviously sexual sin would qualify, leaving the home would qualify, physical abuse, would that qualify? Is that breaking the covenant? Is that a man who is cherishing his wife, protecting his wife, defending his wife, or has he ended the marriage by violating the covenant? Furthermore, there are many who would argue that there can actually be emotional duress that is so egregious that it's a violation of the marriage covenant. A marriage covenant said two fleshes become one flesh. That's the, you're like, you're together. You're everything. And you certainly don't harm your own flesh. But can you live underneath the same roof and yet not be living together? And I think we all know the answer to that is yes, you can. It's more than two ships passing in the night. It could be living in the attic and one down here over there. And even if they are even in the same place, just the silent treatment. There's no marriage there. That's somebody, if you will, who has left, but their body is still in the house. I think that each church and each situation needs to consider those principles and then apply them in the context of each situation. Now, one more note on the issue of physical abuse. You should not stay in that home. You shouldn't. And here is typically what happens. Not always, but typically what happens. If a man will not show any signs of repentance. Now, this is the divorce issue aside just for a moment. But let's say here's the dynamic. The woman is getting physically abused by the husband, and she removes herself and the children for the sake of safety. She really should not return until it is genuinely determined that it is safe, which is why you're probably going to need your elders involved in this to help you make that kind of decision. There should be some sort of mechanism in place to make sure that you're actually safe if you would even consider returning to that context. Nevertheless, typically, if you stay away long enough because you're just not going to return to that situation, guess what he's going to do? Leave. He's going to abandon the marriage. And then you would have, I think, very, very sure footing. There's debate among some with the biblical physical abuse. Again, I would say that needs to be determined in each context. I think the emotional abuse, that needs to be determined in each context, because how do you describe that? In today's context, oh, we're seeing the divorce rate soar because the generation that believes that any slight is a crime, that words are weapons, they're saying, well, they abandoned the marriage covenant because he didn't like Cool Whip and I like Ready Whip or whatever. That's enough these days. No, you got to really dig and figure out what is happening inside of the context of that marriage. What's going on in that home? What does the marriage actually look like? Is there any sort of emotional abandonment? It could be a spouse that's just too sensitive. All of those things need to be delicately and thoughtfully weighed before making a major decision like that. So all that to say, please, if this is you that we're talking about here, run to your elders. Run to your elders. You can get out of that situation. God does not want you in a house, and he doesn't want the kids there either. You are not abandoning the marriage. You're keeping yourself safe. Then, once you're safe, work with your elders to make a decision. Is this something that is biblically permissible or not? Jimmy, you got anything to add to that? That's a lot.
That is a lot, but I would tend, myself, where I stand is, I agree that it's a case-by-case basis, but an overarching thing, something that's physical abuse with a non-repentant man, he's already abandoned the
covenant. See, that's the argument.
That's what I would definitely say. Because, I mean, he made a vow to protect, to love, honor, obey, take responsibility for someone's well-being. And he abandoned
And I think most people, that kind of resonates with folks, but the other side would say, hold on. The Bible does not say physical abuse is a reason for divorce. If it's not adultery, if it's not physical abandonment, it isn't enumerated in the Bible. Therefore, it doesn't qualify. That's why doing a deep dive on this, super important. And read what other theologians have had to say on it, going all the way back to the Puritans. Methinks you might be surprised that they were a bit more sensitive about this subject than I think most of us would imagine when it comes to the Puritans. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with Scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith? That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast, Integrated, is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor. And he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated. And he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation, He chose to create us to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm persisting you.
I'm
Who
here.
Do you think I'm persisting in here? Drooling on myself now. Psst. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
Is there any way we can pull yesterday's show that talked about the dangers of artificial intelligence?
Yeah, it's a little late.
I'm in trouble. This is Wretched Radio. Got to be very, very careful how you use the AI machine. I just visited it and I asked, are there verifiable, certifiable quotes from reliable sources from conservative theologians that would indicate that physical or emotional abuse could be grounds for divorce? I believe that you have to do that probably every single time, because I've done this enough times where I've said, hey, just, you know, only sources. In fact, even in the query, when I put in, hey, I don't want anything made up, just give me the sources. And then I read something and it's like, wait, what? And then I ask it, well, I made that one up. Sorry. Oh, that could get you into some serious hot water. The sources that are cited here for contemporaries, the only one that AI pulled up was Wayne Grudem, you know, Mr. Systematic Theology. He basically builds it on 1 Corinthians 7:15, arguing the phrase, in such cases, should include other circumstances that destroy a marriage, such as abuse. Quote, in such cases, the phrase should be understood to include any case that similarly destroy a marriage. That's Wayne Grudem. I did not find anything from John MacArthur. I did not find anything from R.C. Sproul. I did find a Grace Community Church in Tennessee that said this, quote, when physical or emotional interaction in a marriage reaches the level as defined as abuse, it is grounds for marital separation, church discipline, and if ongoing, divorce. It's a conservative church. It's not John MacArthur's church. But I asked it about the Puritans. And this is the one that surprised me the most, that there are a lot of Puritans who were very protective of women. Incidentally, the Levitical laws on divorce, for women's sake, Jesus, in talking about divorce, it is to protect women and not have easy divorce. That's what he was after, at the very least, in the Sermon on the Mount. Hey, this quick, I divorce, you burn my food, which, by the way, I think it's the Talmud, identifies food burning as grounds for divorce. Jesus said, no. It's got to be something like really catastrophic. He was pointing toward a much higher standard than what was predominantly adopted in the first century. The Puritans, I can't say that every single one of them, but many of them were of one voice when it came to the issue of grounds for divorce. They had a more expansive view than I think you might be surprised to hear. Let me share with you. This is from William Perkins. He died in 1602. If the husband be a beastly man and will not cease to threaten, beat, and abuse his wife, she may depart for her safety. For marriage was not ordained for destruction, but for comfort and preservation. So his thinking is that if you vowed to be in a marriage for comfort and preservation, not destruction, you're breaking the vow. You're breaking the covenant. William Gouge died in 1653. If a husband should turn tyrant and by cruelty make his wife's life miserable or dangerous, she may flee from him. Cruelty is clean contrary. He was Southern, Jimmy. Cruelty is clean contrary to that end for which marriage was ordained. Richard Baxter, familiar name, 17th century. If a man by his cruelty disableth himself to perform the essential duties of marriage, he may thereby free the injured party. Now, I could be wrong. That is in a Christian directory. Oof, I'd known that was going to pop up on the AI machine, I could have grabbed my copy of it. Nevertheless, he might be talking about a man who refuses to participate in the marriage bed. Not totally sure. However, he continued, if one party do by intolerable cruelty render the other's life unsafe or utterly destroy the ends of marriage, the injured party is not bound to cohabitation. In such cases, the innocent party has just cause to be released. You as a church need to work through the issue. You need to work through the subject, come up with your own conclusions, and then apply very, very carefully. If you fall on the side of that there's more qualifying, I should say disqualifying behavior than just committing adultery or physical abandonment, please make sure this, if that is your perspective, that you work through this so carefully, it means you're going to have to be really transparent with your elders. Because I think even from the Puritans who were intending to protect women, did you hear the language? If he's a tyrant, if he's a monster, it's got to, again, always stay safe. But divorce isn't something that should be treated like, well, he abandoned the marriage. He's not very nice to me. He's been kind of crabby all week long. I'm out of here. Nope, 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 nope. High view of marriage, high bar for actually divorcing. But you can use the AI machine yourself. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Michael. Todd, my pastor is a good expository Bible teacher.
Then stay there and thank him.
However.
Okay.
He doesn't preach or exhort us to any action outside the church building. There's no focus on the Great Commission. We've met with the pastor twice, and the final answer was that we as a church need to do more with evangelism, but the church really doesn't want to grow anymore numerically. So I don't really know what we should do now.
Keep talking to him. As soon as you say he's a good expositor, he's a godly man, then you're in a good place. And you should work through a third meeting, then do a third meeting. And try to understand why they don't want to grow anymore. Look, I'm actually sympathetic toward that sentiment, but from totally selfish reasons, because right now, our church, we all know each other. Everybody, you know, just everybody knows everybody's stuff. It's delightful. And the bigger you get, you can lose some of that. And I've joked before. It's like, okay, you're going to have a membership card to get in here, because once we get to this number, you can't come in. Just lock the doors. Jestingly, but not without a little bit of emotion behind it. So I don't know that a church should put a cap on membership, or if it desires to do that, then send a group of X number of people to start another church so that you can welcome others in. And so to say we're not going to evangelize because we don't want to grow, I'm not sure those two thoughts are very harmonious. I don't think you can use that as an excuse. We are commanded to, while going, make disciples. Make the most of every opportunity. Be ready to give a reason. We are to proclaim his excellencies. Corporately, we do that, and individually too. So I would simply sit down with him again. Share with him, for instance, sorry I'm stuck in 1 Peter gear, but that's what the book is about. That you are a sanctified, submissive, long-suffering people whose salvation is so appreciated that you grow in each of those areas, so that when people say, what's up with you? You can say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. This is why you perceive me as different, because I am. I don't live an empty life anymore. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you more about the reason for the hope that lies within me, so that we can proclaim his excellence. That's what the whole book is about. So I would bring my Bible, I'd bring those verses, I'd bring Colossians 3. I would be willing to bring it through the book of Acts. Look at the evangelism going on. Paul was this master evangelist. I think there's a reason for that. How will people hear if we don't go and tell them? So bring your Bible verses, do it respectfully. And if he's the godly man that you're describing, you'll get it sorted. And there, maybe discover why. Pastor, I hear your heart in all of this. What can we do to lift whatever the burden is that is keeping you from desiring to organize and do this? We'll do it. We'll be willing to lead the evangelism team. We will be accountable to you. We'll check in. Is once a month okay? Do you want to come out and watch what we do? Do you want us to record these encounters so that you can hear how we're handling the word and representing the church that where you pastor? What can we do, Pastor? Because we really want to be obedient to the Great Commission. And I think that if you do that, you'll work through it, but also understand, while many of us at this point are kind of steeped in an evangelistic mindset where it's like, yeah, let's go. We got to do this thing. Historically, in evangelicalism, I'll tell you, evangelism, inviting people to church, we're cool with that, but evangelizing is still, for many, many pastors, it's they're a little allergic to it still. So consider how you might help your pastor grow and what a good work it will be that you will have accomplished if he grows in that regard and then leads the congregation in evangelism. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.